Man, we got a lot of ground to cover today, and I know what? Some of you have come today with your popcorn, because you're ready to just sit there and see me get in trouble, because you know what we're talking about. Some of you have no idea, and you're coming in cold, so let me just bring you up to speed here. Today, we are talking about a very controversial topic, something that is not very popular today. We're talking about the biblical command for wives to submit to their husbands and for husbands to lead like Jesus. Now, I recognize that it's controversial. I recognize that it's not particularly popular. But here's what I'm going to ask of you today. I'm going to ask that you not get mad at me until I'm done. I'm going to ask that you allow God's word to speak. And I'm going to ask that you recognize that I cannot cover everything that this topic includes in one sermon. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to open up our Bibles and read through Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. Now the reason, say, Devin, you know, why this topic? Well, here's why. At Summerside, what we typically do is we preach through books of the Bible. This is a good example of why. Okay? There are a number of topics that would be very easy to avoid because they're complicated, they're difficult, they're not popular, and this is one of those instances. But because we're preaching through the book of Colossians verse by verse, here we are. So there's one of two approaches that I can take. I can gloss over it and ignore it, or we can dive into it. So let's do the latter. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to start talking about it. Fair? All right, let's go. Colossians chapter 3. Now, Colossians, again, is about like 95% of the way through the Bible. Colossians chapter 3. We're looking at verse 18 and 19. I was originally going to do all the way to 4:1, but there's just too much here, and I wanted to give it the time that it needed. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. And this is just a freebie. Parents, if you want to just latch on to verse 20, you can use that one at home later. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this pleases the Lord. So keep that in mind. But let me read verse 18 and 19 again. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Right off the front end here, I want to get something clear. And I want to make a very simple point. This is in the Bible. Okay, so we have to deal with that. We have to address that. Now, before you get out your Sharpie and you cross this verse out because you don't like it, let me ask you, is that really the type of Christian, the type of follower of Christ that you want to be? Who just goes through page by page by page and says, don't like that. That would be inconveniencing. Don't like that. Let's see here. No, you don't want to be that kind of Christian. Why? Because that's not how our relationship with God is structured. We don't come to God and say, act and behave in the way that I'm asking of you. Believe what I believe, God, and then I will worship you. If that's your approach, you're not worshiping the biblical God. If that's your approach, then you're simply trying to construct a God that you like so that you can then follow that God. The task is for you and for me to be shaped and molded into the image of God, not to shape and mold God into our image. And we all have different areas. This may be an issue that really rubs you the wrong way, but there's a number of passages in the Bible that more than a few of us would like to cross out. I recognize that. But you have to have a God who is willing to challenge you. If you believe in a God who never challenges your beliefs or your behaviors, then you're not worshiping something real. Okay? So, the Bible is clear on this point, and before you ignore it, make sure you investigate it. Okay? Before you dismiss this, make sure you actually understand it. I'm not here to convince you, particularly today. Right? I'm not here to lay out three hard and fast rules about what this looks like in a marriage, because maybe you're here and you're not even married and you're thinking, what good does this do to me? Well, all scripture is beneficial because it teaches us about God and it teaches us about ourselves. And so even if you're single, there's still something here for you today. This is a passage that just so happens to be structured that is geared towards believing spouses, okay? So now the first point here, Paul says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Now, maybe you're going to sit there and you're going to say, I'm pretty sure I could get out of that verse because here's a few reasons why. Even if you get away from this verse, this theme comes up a number of times in the New Testament. Here's a passage from Ephesians chapter 5, 22 to 24. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives would submit to their husbands in everything. And the same thing is found in 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6, and similar themes in 1 Timothy and in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So the point is this, it's in the Bible, and the Bible teaches this on more than one occasion. And even if it taught it on only one occasion, it's still authoritative for us. But this isn't just something that you can ignore or minimize. This is a significant teaching around marriage. But I recognize that in a broken and fallen world, passages like this have been abused. And maybe you're here, and you've had this verse or this concept or this practice forced on you in extremely unhealthy ways. I can only imagine what comes to mind for some of you when I use the word submission. Because maybe you've been abused. Maybe you've had domineering partners. Maybe you've had people who threatened you. A partner who puffed his chest out to make himself feel big. Who tried to control you. Who tried to lessen you in some way. And as soon as you hear this verse, as soon as you hear this term, it just hits you like a punch in the gut. If that's you, I want to say that I'm sorry that you've experienced that. That breaks my heart and it breaks God's heart. But what I'm asking of you is don't ignore this passage simply because you've seen the truth abused. Just because you've seen this teaching abused, it doesn't mean that God doesn't have something for us. Anything good can be perverted and abused. Right? So we're called to love people, right? That's a good thing. But imagine if you have some kind of weird codependency issue where you allow somebody to do anything they want to you, to abuse you in any way, to take advantage of you in multiple ways, all because you think that you love them. Is love a good thing? Yes. Right? But anything can be corrupted. So I'm asking you just to hold off your assessment until we unpack what the Bible's actually talking about. Don't dismiss something simply because you've seen it abused. Now, I want to make a few clarification points about this, okay? So, here's the first one. Even if you're sitting here and you're like, no way, Devin. I ain't doing it. I'm not going to submit to my husband. And you've already texted him or nudged him and said, no chance. Don't get your hopes up, right? Even if you refuse to submit in your marriage, submission is still a significant part of the Christian life. You cannot escape submission. We are called to submit to the government in 1 Peter 2:3. We are called to submit to the elders of the church in Hebrews 13:7. You're called to submit to your boss at work. We are called to submit one to another. And it's interesting that the word used here for submit is the same word that's used of Jesus in speaking about his relationship to his earthly parents. So even if you refuse this, you cannot escape submission. Okay? It's a part of the Christian life. But before you refuse it, I hope you'll understand it. Now, wives are called to submit to their husbands, but it's important that you understand that biblically. What does the Bible mean by that? Why would God structure marriages in this way? What is the teaching that's actually happening here? These are the questions that we have to ask. Now, obviously, this is where people get it wrong. When it's driven by power, by manipulation, by control. It's toxic. It's abusive. It dishonors God. So it's important that we understand it. Now, to understand that, I'm going to offer you, first of all, what submission is not, and then I'll explain what it is and define it for you, okay? Now, submission is not. Wives are called to submit to their husbands. Here's what it does not mean. It does not mean that the husband is the boss and the wife listens to him. It does not mean that the husband says how things are going to go and the wife isn't allowed to have a voice in that. It doesn't mean that he comes home, puts his feet up, while his wife quietly shuffles around waiting on him to make him the sandwich of his dreams. It does not mean that his wife cannot have a say, have input, have strong opinions. It does not mean that the husband is more gifted, is smarter, is more able, or is more spiritual, or is even a better leader than his wife. You know, I was reading this morning in my Bible reading in Galatians chapter 3, where Paul says, there is now, therefore, no more Gentile or Jew or male and female. And he's not talking that there's no differences between the sexes. Okay, that's not what he's talking about. But what he's talking about is our access to God, our relationship with God, our standing with God. So it's not that men have superior standing with God than women do. That's not at all what it's talking about. You know, ultimately, husband and wife are called to submit to Christ as Lord. That's our highest allegiance. And so any time, wife, that your husband is leading in a way that dishonors God, you submit to Christ as King. Now, that's what submission is not. So what is submission? Okay? In marriage, biblical submission is a wife's choice to not overtly resist her husband's leadership. In marriage, in biblical submission, it is a wife's choice to not overtly resist her husband's leadership. It's a wife's recognition and comfort with God's calling on her husband to lead like Jesus. It's a wife's recognition and comfort in God's command for her husband to lead like Jesus. Now, don't worry, wives. You think this is a heavy load to carry? You just wait till I get into what God expects of men, okay? So I just want to offer this final clarifying thought, and this is important. Who do wives submit to? What does it say in the text? Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Men don't submit, or women don't submit to men. Wives are called to submit to their husbands. There's a difference there. So my wife, dudes, doesn't submit to you. And good luck. I'm pretty sure she would break most of you. Right? Women are not called to submit to men as if this is just some kind of general principle. No, wives are called to submit to their husbands. Now, Heather and I, whenever we're doing like premarital counseling or dealing with couples who are struggling or just couples who just want to grow in their marriage a little bit, sometimes we talk about what this looks like in our marriage. And when we get into the specifics, I'm always careful to say, just because we do it this way, it doesn't mean that you have to as well. There are principles that are biblical, but the pragmatics are often left up to the individual, right? Why? Because every relationship is different. Every person into a marriage brings unique giftings, abilities, experiences, and talents, right? So if your wife is a NASCAR driver, right, let her drive, right? It's not about these archaic gender stereotypes as if it's a man's job and a woman's job. No, it has nothing to do with the cooking or the cleaning. It's much, much deeper than that. Heather and I generally, she stays at home in this season, and so she does the bulk of the day-to-day kind of keeping our house from going into chaos. But it's 100%, 100%. Right? It's not like I do my thing, come home, and I put my feet up. No, that's not at all what God has in mind. And so every couple is going to be different. Any of the examples that I give, even anecdotally, of what this looks like in my marriage is not the gospel, right? Your marriage is going to look different than mine. But there are certain principles that God expects and that God calls us to have undergirding our relationship as we move forward. So again, every relationship is different, but the principle remains that biblical submission is a wife's recognition and comfort with her husband's calling to lead like Jesus. Okay, so wives, we'll give you a break, and I'm going to talk to the men now, okay? Now this is important. Because I think fundamentally this is where things go off the rail. Husbands are called to lead like Jesus. Without that, submission is going to go toxic very quickly. Husbands are called to lead like Jesus, not like a dictator. Not through manipulation, not through force, but with gentleness and love. I mean, think about the passage here. Wives, submit yourselves to the husband, to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. The same thing is found in Ephesians chapter 5, 23. I read this one earlier. For the husband is the head of the church. The husband is the head of the wife. Okay? Too often I meet men who functionally and practically live their lives like the verse ends there. And they're like, that's pretty darn good. I'll take that. That's easy, right? The husband is the head of the wife, right? So there you go. That settles it. It makes my life a lot easier. But the verse goes on, right? It goes on and it says this, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. So husbands, you are called to lead in your home like Jesus leads. So then the question is, how does Jesus lead his church? Is Jesus domineering with the church? No, he's gentle with the church. Is Jesus constantly flying off the handle? Yelling and raising his voice? Smashing stuff around the house? When the church messes up? No, he is patient. Is Jesus aggressive? Does he use his power to intimidate? No, man. Jesus is compassionate. Does Jesus use the church for his own ends? No, he nurtures the church. You see, submission in marriage without the gospel is toxic. Submission in marriage without the gospel is going to get you into a lot of trouble. But God calls husbands to lead like Christ, to lead like Jesus. And Christ loved the church so much that he never hurt her, abused her, manipulated her, withheld from her any good thing. He loved the church so much that he was willing to die for her. That's the example that God calls you husbands to lead like Jesus. And in Colossians, we see that it starts with love and gentleness. Love your wives and do not be harsh with them. So I hate to even say it, but I want to say it because it's important and because you need to hear it. What this means is that there is no place in marriage for name calling, for constant shouting. Like, yeah, you're going to have disagreements. Right? And you get frustrated when you're like, you know, you can't get out your words and your voice gets raised. But if you are yelling at your wife multiple times a week, you need a heart check. If your default is just to raise your voice to get your way, you need to repent. That's not following the example that Jesus has offered us in the gospel. There is absolutely no place in marriage for physical or emotional abuse. You don't touch God's daughters. It's not complicated. And if you have a history or a habit of doing this, you need to repent and find help fast. Because you're sinning against your wife, you're sinning against your kids, and you're sinning against your Lord. There is no place in marriage for manipulation through domineering postures, through aggression, through intimidation or fear. That is the exact opposite of the example of what Jesus has given us in marriage. And ladies, if you're experiencing this kind of abuse, you got to find some help and let him get the help that he needs. There is no place for this in a God-glorifying marriage. Now, men are called to lead in the home and to lead like Jesus. So what does this actually mean? What does this look like? Well, men, it's your job, it's your responsibility, and it's your calling to lead. So let me ask you, who initiates prayer in your house? Hopefully both of you. But hopefully it's not your wife all the time. Why are you here today? Are you here because your wife dragged you? Or are you here because you're leading your family? And you know that we have to be together in worship. It means it's your job, men, to be active in the discipline of the children, to take responsibility for the intimacy, the love, and the tone of your marriage. If you need counseling because your marriage is on the rocks, dudes, initiate that. Open the door. Go find some help. Get some input. Your marriage is your responsibility. Take ownership over that. It's your calling to honor your wife, to care for her, to initiate conversation, just to invest in it 100% because God has entrusted you with this and he will hold you accountable for this. And ultimately, if I could sum it up, it means it's your job to lead in serving, not to lead with the expectation of being served. So if somebody is going to do without, it's you. And then if somebody's got to give up a hobby because the family's life is too chaotic, it's you. If somebody needs to watch the kids so that one of you can get a break and go for a walk or go have a coffee with a friend, man, die to self and do it. Now, I love this verse in Colossians, verse 19. You know, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And so these themes of love and gentleness, these are so important in a marriage. Husbands, you lead your wife in the home by leading in love and gentleness. So think about your words, your actions, the touches of affection, the romance, your intimacy, flowers, laughter, texting, letters. I mean, how, you know, you talk about like love languages. Each of us appreciate different kinds of gestures. Like gifts are super low on my, it's just not something that Heather or I have ever had a lot of energy behind. Right? Christmas is usually pretty unexciting in our house, but quality time, right? Letters, words of affirmation. Know, men, it's your responsibility to know how your wife desires to be loved and to love her well in that way. To pursue her heart and to be devoted to her. Husbands, love your wives. And I think that's important. Love your wives, not somebody else's wife, not some other dude. Not porn, not dating sites, you name it. You are called to love your wife and be devoted to her heart, body, and soul. Love your wife and do not be harsh with them. You know, maybe this will spur a conversation later where you can just look at your wife and say, how do I do at loving you and being gentle? You know, I would say that this is one of the ways that God has worked in our marriage. Heather's not here. She was here at the 9 o'clock. It's a lot more effective when I reference her and people can see that she's nodding. Not because I told her to. But, you know, she's with the kids right now. But this idea of gentleness in marriage. You know, sometimes when we're doing construction projects around the house, I slip into what I call construction Devin. And it's from years ago working on site with a bunch of dudes who are exhausted and tired. And I just get this like sharpness where I'll be like, you know, pass me this tool. She'll be like, and it used to be like, this one? I'll be like, no, I said this one. Like, God, good helps hard to find. And just grumpy, right? I've had to grow in that. Another way that I've seen God work in our marriage specifically early on, okay, and I'm trying to read the room here. I'm going to try to put a Disney spin on this. Early in our marriage, as many couples do, we would have little tiffs surrounding intimacy, right? And I can remember on more than one occasion sitting there in bed angry, right? Just like, ugh, fine then, I'll just go to sleep. And I'm facing one side of the wall, and she's on the other side of the bed facing the other side. And it's just awkward, right? We've had this fight. We've been arguing. It's like, okay, fine, I'm just going to go to sleep. And I can more than one occasion specifically remember what I believe is God's Spirit speaking to my heart, bringing the truth of Scripture back to my mind. Husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church. Husbands, love your wives like Christ has loved the church. Husbands, love your wives like Christ has loved the church. Think about that. So there I am in bed. I am ticked. She can't see it, but my arms are crossed and I am mad, right? But I'm thinking, what would Jesus do in my situation? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus didn't wait around until the other person, until we deserved to be forgiven. He initiated that. So if one of us is going to eat humble pie that tastes disgusting, it's going to be me. So I roll over and say, hey, babe, I don't know what that was all about. I'm super sorry. I love you. And yeah, I'm sorry. And make up through that. Right? My marriage is not perfect, but by God's grace, I was thinking this morning, I'm better at marriage than I am at being a pastor. Right? Like, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that my marriage is a source of joy. And we haven't arrived, and we continue to like evaluate and take inventory and discuss, like, you know, and wrestle through our marriage together. And it's going to look different for every single one of us. But husbands are called to lead and to lead like Jesus. So wives, let me ask you a question. If you're feeling resistant to this verse, do you really think that you want a man that doesn't lead? I mean, think about that. Imagine you're married to a man who is completely passive, who never initiates anything, who never takes ownership of anything, who is never responsible for anything, but leaves all of that on your shoulders. The kind of man who hears a noise at night and wakes you up to go check it out. Is that the kind of man you want to be married to? No. Why? Because that's not a man. That's a boy. And he's already got a mom. He doesn't need another one, right? You see, submission will only make sense to you if you understand it coming from a gospel framework. So husbands, don't go around using this word in your day-to-day to somehow settle discussions or disagreements. To be frank, I have never once would I say to Heather, oh, wait a second, there's a Bible verse about biblical submission, so that settles the conversation. That's done. No. That's toxic. We discuss stuff. We wrestle through it. We pray together. But I'm fully invested because I know that God holds me responsible for my marriage. Wives, the command here is to not resist or fight against your husband as he starts to lead and seeks to lead your family like Jesus. He's not going to do it perfect. None of us do it perfect. But encourage him as he steps out in faith and seeks to obey Christ in this way. Now, there are so many things that I could have said here today. And I know that there's no way that I can answer all of your specific questions that are tied to your unique story and history. I recognize that. But I know that Heather and I, the elders and their wives, would love to discuss with you, you know, what this looks like. Why it is a path to joy and life. You see, we live in a culture where even the word submission is viewed as being utterly disgusting. To even vocalize that, people imagine oppression, misogyny, abuse. But the gospel offers us something different. God is your maker. God is your creator. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what brings life and joy better than you do. This is an instance where you may be tempted to say, I think I know a better way to flourishing. But you don't. God knows. I could go on and on with specifics, with applications, with details, but I wanted to offer you the broad strokes of this framework. And I think to really work this out is going to take a lot of prayer in your marriage, a lot of discussion, and a lot of evaluation of saying, how do we do in this area? Husbands, ask your wives, do I show you love and am I gentle? Ask her. Wives, ask your husband, where do you feel that I resist you unnecessarily? I won't make a joke. You know, there's so many ways that we could approach this, but I want you to know that we are here for you to continue on this conversation. Don't let the negativity of your past dictate how you respond to Scripture. In Summerside, let me end with this. We live in a world in which marriage is sorely misunderstood. We live in a world in which marriage is far more often talked about in terms of ball and chain and negativity than it is being a place of joy and love. This most intimate, private, complete relationship is utterly misunderstood. And God calls us to model something different. A marriage that is based on the gospel. A marriage that smells like the aroma of the gospel. A marriage that sounds like the tune of the gospel. A place of gentleness, joy, laughter, humility, where husbands take their calling serious to lead in the home like Jesus, and wives support their husbands in that work. And that's a beautiful thing. And I tell you what, as marriage in our culture goes off the cliff, we have a beautiful opportunity as believers to model something different and use that as an opportunity to share with people the difference that Jesus makes in lives. What a tremendous opportunity we have. But this, like every area, every sin you want to stop, every virtue you want to start, the remedy for your greed, your lack of motivation, everything in the Christian life finds its origin in the gospel. And until you understand that, you are going to be playing with less than the full deck. You will be seeking to change your behavior, to work things out in certain ways without the foundation that you need. So husbands, your first job, before you start throwing this term around, is to figure out, to know and learn how Jesus has led his church, and to let that shape you. And if you find yourself doing things that Jesus wouldn't do in your marriage, repent, ask her forgiveness, and go back to Scripture and learn from Jesus again. Summerside, none of us do marriage perfect. But we have an opportunity to share the glory of God in the gospel in our marriages. And I just want to pray to that end. And I tell you what, if you have questions, if you have concerns, if there's a way that I can clarify any of this, come and talk to me. And Heather and I, one of our elders and their spouses, would love to talk with you. We are here for you, and we believe truly and honestly that God's way is best. And I invite you to believe that with me. So let me pray to that end. Father, like I said, there have been times in which I have failed in my marriage to lead like Jesus, where I have been self-centered and harsh. And I pray your forgiveness for that, and I pray that you would strengthen me to do better. And God, I pray for those here today. I pray for the men in our church, that we would not be a church filled with passive, lazy men who give themselves to hobbies and video games and waste their time, but would just, God, step out in faith and in courage to lead their families like Jesus would lead their families, to initiate spiritual formation in their home, to love their wives well without being harsh. Do a work in our men, I pray. And God, for the sisters here who are married, for the wives here, I pray that you will help them to understand submission biblically. God, I pray that you will give them a confidence that your way is best and a humility to learn from you. Father, for those who are not here, married here today, I pray that in whatever area that they want to grow, that they would start on that foundation of the gospel. That would be our bread and butter, what we return to day after day after day, the foundation of all that we do, of all that we think, of all that we say, and all that we are. And Jesus, we ask all of this in your name, because you are the true bridegroom who was perfect and faithful in everything. You loved the church and you gave yourself up for her so that you could purify her and make her into something beautiful. Jesus, we thank you that you are the faithful groom. Help us in our marriages to glorify you. Amen.